It's Hazel.
Hey, it's Zara.
And I'm Jermaine.
And welcome back to another episode of Clarity's Hush Podcast.
Today we have special guests here to discuss a topic that I'm not sure I know that much about. Perimenopause.
It's a term very foreign to me.
Exactly. So let's say hello to Nisha and Dr. Charu.
Hello.
Hi, ladies. Hello.
Nisha, can you tell us more about yourself first?
I'm Nisha. Thank you so much for having me here. I'm a year 4 NTU Wikimui student, and I'm part of a 4-person campaign project, Beyond the Pause. So Beyond the Pause, it's actually a women-centric health campaign that spotlights perimenopause. So our aim is to raise awareness for this topic and to spark conversations surrounding it.
Oh, Beyond the Pause as in menopause.
Beyond the perimenopause.
Genius.
I love that. Of course, we have an expert in the room today, Dr. Charu. Tell us a bit more about your practice.
Hi, girls. Thank you for calling me to do this podcast. So I wouldn't call myself an expert. I'm a GP who's very interested in women's health. I see a lot of women and children in my practice and developed an interest in menopause. My background is that of lifestyle medicine as well as nutritional medicine. So I approach health in a holistic manner, trying to combine a lot of lifestyle approaches to manage disease. And I think menopause is a perfect condition.
Yeah? Wow.
Thank you.
It's very impressive.
Yeah, that's very impressive. Okay, so we've all heard about the term menopause. Yes. But what exactly is perimenopause?
So perimenopause is actually the years that precede your last menstrual period. This could be anywhere between 8 to 10 years. And it's usually marked by changes in your menstrual cycle length. So you might have shorter cycles or longer cycles. You may have heavier or lighter bleeds. You may also have some mood changes, some mental changes happening at
that time. I'm experiencing mood changes every time my period comes. Am I experiencing perimenopause?
No, that's just circumstantial.
Okay. Phew.
That's just menstruation.
No, but that's the thing, right? Like for a lot of us, because we're not trained in this, we don't really know what to look out for. Mm-hmm. So sometimes, you know, since the day our periods came, sometimes it's irregular, sometimes it's heavier, sometimes it's lighter. And a lot of us just brush it off as something's going on, doesn't feel like something I should worry about or check. What are the markers that is supposed to ring an alarm that, you know, we need to do something about it?
So you're very right. You know, all of us will have some mood changes before a cycle, which are within the norm. And to be honest, it's not a disease. Perimenopause is not a disease. It's just a transition. So as long as we are able to cope with those changes and they are not really upsetting our quality of life, they are fine. But the moment you find that you are now not able to perform your daily, you know, routine, or this is starting to affect your relationship, or you are having a premenstrual period lasting 2 weeks in a cycle, well, that's not normal. Then you go and seek help. Because perimenopause, in fact, can happen in your late 30s and usually in the 40s.
Yeah. Wow.
I actually want to hear from Nisha, because you're in your 20s, you're in Wikimui right now. Why is perimenopause such a, you know, relevant topic for you? Because it still seems quite far away that you experienced it.
So I'm actually 24 this year. And when, you know, my groupmate suggested this topic of perimenopause, I was just like, but it's not really relevant to us, right? But after doing much more, you know, research, digging, you know, we realized that it's not actually a distant concern, because it's not a matter of if, but when, right? So understanding perimenopause now, even in our 20s, it gives us a valuable head start. It's like getting a sneak peek into your future, you know, how you can help to manage your symptoms better, taking care of your health and well-being.
So every woman that menstruates will experience perimenopause?
They would definitely have hormonal fluctuation. The point is how aware they would be of that. So they might have some changes that they don't attribute to their hormones and go and see a doctor and, you know, take some medication and not be aware. So really, awareness can help you be prepared and then also deal with it.
What is the age of the youngest patient you have met who has experienced perimenopause?
So I have seen someone in their 30s. Perhaps the youngest would be even late 20s.
Oh, wow.
But she didn't start her periods for a very long time. And after going to multiple doctors, she was finally discovered to have basically a failure of the ovaries to work as they should. But 4 out of 100 is the statistic. Women would have menopause before the age of 40.
Mm.
And in the 40s, maybe around 12 out of 100.
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay.
I think a lot of women are looking to have children later these days, right? Mm. Like mid-30s or even close to 40. So mm-hmm. this is quite concerning because you never know, you might just get early perimenopause.
Mm-hmm.
So two questions here. What can bring about early perimenopause? And when you're going through that transitional phase, does that mean you can't have kids anymore?
That's an interesting one. So, you know, if your ovaries stop working, it's called premature ovarian insufficiency. So your periods just stop, you know, probably 4 months and you're diagnosed with this. And this is before the age of 40. This could happen either because you've had a medical treatment. For example, some people have to have their ovaries removed because of cancer. Majority of the cases, we don't actually know what happens, which is really sad. So there are no answers. But a small number, there might be other immune conditions, autoimmune. For example, if you have thyroid disease or diabetes of the early onset type, they can be at risk. If someone's undergone chemotherapy or radiotherapy as children or teenagers, young adults, they can have early menopause. And there are certain things that are linked. So eating disorders, which have a huge incidence in Singapore and all over the world,
mm-hmm.
and alcohol and smoking. So that is why in your 20s, women should be more aware of their reproductive health. So these are just possible links, but not definite.
But what about like pregnancy in the perimenopause stage?
So when we did our research, we did discover that you can actually get pregnant even when you're having perimenopause.
Because it's just the phase before menopause
itself,
right? It's
like pre-menopause. Yeah, I kind of see it as pre-menopause. Yeah.
So it's like the natural transition from menstruation to menopause. But during this period, your ovaries, they are still releasing eggs. So you can still get pregnant actually.
Is it tougher?
I think, you know, you definitely can get pregnant in your perimenopause years, and there's need to optimize your lifestyle.
Mm.
So, you know, avoid the triggers that could lower your fertility. Adopt a healthy diet, exercise regularly, avoid smoking and alcohol, and get help early. That is important, but you definitely can get pregnant because you're still ovulating, but it might not be at every cycle that you ovulate.
Because I think they mentioned that perimenopause would go up to 8 to 10 years, even before your actual menopause. Is there any sort of way that we can kind of tell, you know, when you're about to transition or, you know, when you're going through this transition?
Apart from age, right?
Mm. Yeah.
So tests, blood tests in particular, are not very useful in determining that you're in perimenopause. And the biggest symptom will be charting your periods, looking for changes such as moving forward in your next cycle. So 7 days shorter or 7 days longer on a consistent basis, or just suddenly starting to have much heavier periods.
Mm.
Sometimes you get more severe symptoms like sleep issues or starting to get very depressed in your premenstrual phase of the cycle and for much longer than what is normal, which is about 3 or 4 days. So these things would prompt you to go and talk to a doctor. Sometimes you have coincidental issues like a thyroid disorder that makes an appearance or, you know, iron deficiency, which could explain the fatigue. So fatigue is another one that a lot of perimenopausal women come with. And, you know, you check their bloods and everything is fine.
Mm.
So then you need to start thinking maybe their estrogen levels are dropping. So if you're aware, you're likely to go and ask for help. And probably the management's going to be have a healthier lifestyle, you know, get enough sleep and get enough rest. But if it's something worrying, at least you can pick that up if you go and see a GP.
I think being aware of it is so important.
Yes.
But when it actually comes down to it, it's so much easier said than done because your body is going through this massive change. Your mood's going everywhere. I remember when my mom was going through menopause. Oh my gosh, it was like raining hell on the family every day. It strained her relationship with my dad. It strained her relationship with her kids. And in fact, one research actually surveyed 1,000 women and found that 70% blamed menopause for their divorce or marriage problems. That sounds very serious to me, rising from something that every woman will go through.
Right. Nisha, have you interviewed anyone who's faced that?
So actually, one of our interviewees, she shared with us that her husband, he was very supportive of her perimenopausal and menopause journey. But the one that was not supportive was actually her mother-in-law.
Okay. Oh, so yeah. Wait, how old is this woman?
She is about 54.
Okay.
Yes. So her mother-in-law, you know, she had a very easy menopause journey. She didn't have any difficulties. You know, she denied having any symptoms. But her husband actually said, you know, she had mood swings, fatigue. Mm. But the thing is, when my interviewee, you know, she experienced these symptoms, she was brushing it off. Like, why are you complaining so much, right?
It's the mother-in-law was brushing it off.
Yes. Okay. So the mother-in-law was saying, like, why do you pretend like it's bothering you? Like, it's nothing, right? Yeah, so she was not sympathetic to her journey at all. But luckily, her husband was. The husband was very supportive of her, encouraging her to lead a healthier lifestyle, you know, and try to be happy, right? Because her mood was really affected by her perimenopausal journey. Mm. You know, she shared that she lost a lot of friendships because she was so depressed during her menopause that she didn't want to leave the house. Mm. So her husband had to encourage her to go for walks, you know, just to breathe the outside air. Yeah.
Have you encountered anyone close to you who's experienced that? Like maybe your mom? I don't know if she might be too young.
Oh, my mom is also 54 this year.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
So just, you know, coincidentally. So when she was going through, you know, perimenopause, right, I didn't really understand it at a point in time. So I would always argue with my mom, you know, like, why are you getting angry with me?
Okay.
Why are you lashing out at me?
Mm.
But now I feel that now I'm empowered with this knowledge, right, of perimenopause and what it's all about. Now I understand, you know, my mom was not trying to be angry with me, but, you know, she just couldn't help it, right? And I should have been more sympathetic towards her, right. More understanding.
And that was just perimenopause,
yes,
back in those years. So menopause
is it happening
on the
now?
Table,
yeah.
Next,
yes.
Right?
Yes. So from time to time, she does have these mood swings where, you know, she just reacts really differently from how she normally would react.
Mm. And more aggressive?
And more aggressive, yes. So there was like one incident with my family where we were having our lunch. And, you know, my mom, she's kind of like a clean person. So she likes the table to be cleared right after a meal. So when the table wasn't cleared right after a meal, she threw a tantrum in a way. Yeah. So she got really angry. She was like, why can't you clear the table? Right? I want it gone now. And then we didn't really understand, like, why was she behaving like this? After about an hour or so, I asked them, I was like, Mom, what happened? Like, why were you like this?
Mm.
And then she was like, actually, I also don't know.
Oh.
Yeah. She was like, I don't understand why I reacted like this. Then we were like, oh, it's okay, it's okay. We're trying to comfort her that, you know, it's all right. We try to guide her through her journey of perimenopause, you know, trying not to make her so angry, you know, trying to do what she likes, you know, being there for her.
But how long will this whole journey last? Perimenopause, maybe 8 to 10 years, right? And then menopause itself?
Menopause is actually one single day when you stop your period, right? And then there is the postmenopause where there is a relative steadying of hormone levels. So from that fluctuation, it kind of just steadies and comes down. And so those symptoms are slightly different. And sometimes people are worse in the perimenopause than actually after menopause.
Correct.
Because things steady off. But, you know, you may have more of the sleep issues and the hot flushes, fatigue, you know, physical changes that go on, vaginal dryness, low libido. Mm. But overall, every woman's journey is different. This is a very important thing to remember. So no need for you guys to start getting worried, because every woman is different.
Mm.
I think it's different for every woman. And, you know, it's not just important for the woman themselves to understand what they're going through, but like you said, for the family to understand, for the husband to understand. I'll read you guys a story that really tugged at my heartstrings. And maybe Nisha and Dr. Charu, you might have some advice for this person. So this guy's a 42-year-old male. Mm. His wife is 39 years old, and they've been married for about 10 years, together for 12. Relationship's been great. Until a couple of years ago, they started to become less physically intimate. You know, you always hear horror stories, nightmare stories about how, oh, we stopped having sex and things like that. She actually developed some symptoms which ended in a diagnosis of early menopause, right? She started HRT around 6 months ago, which has alleviated some of the symptoms, but not all. Mm. Her libido is virtually non-existent now. And we've always had a very physical relationship. So the husband is finding it very hard to live this way. We have sex maybe once a month, and he's always the one initiating it. It gets very tiring, and he feels so unloved and unwanted in the relationship. And that's tough on her, that's tough on him. Because she may feel guilt, he just feels, you know, this sucks, right? Mm. How do you deal with this when your patients come to you? It you know, goes past physical, it's now mental as well, right?
So this is actually quite a common scenario I see in perimenopausal women in their 40s, late 40s even. And it's a combination of various things. See, the libido, it's multi, there are a lot of causes for low libido. If someone is physically exhausted, not sleeping, has been sweating all night and just wants to go to bed, then the libido is going to be low. If their mood has been low, because low estrogen, low progesterone is really important for your happy chemicals to work. So serotonin and dopamine in your brain do not work if you don't have the hormones in place. Then you're not going to be thinking about sex. You're just going to be too tired for that or too low for that. And thirdly, vaginal dryness becomes a problem because there is a loss of the normal lubrication in the vaginal area. So it's so off-putting for women that they will avoid sex altogether. Mm. Plus, there is a change in your image. When you get into perimenopause, your weight distribution changes, you might lose hair, your skin doesn't look the same, and there is this self-image, which is your loss of self-esteem. You don't feel confident about yourself. So what do? You just avoid sex. So when a doctor sees you, you have to really approach it in a holistic way. And that's what we do at IMC, where we actually have a 45-minute slot for a woman who comes for menopause, 30 to 45 minutes, and we explore all this. They don't have to have HRT, but some of them find that replacing the hormones, which is now quite safe, can help the libido.
Oh, so HRT is hormone replacement
therapy.
Oh,
yes, okay. This can help. Talking to the couple, first of all, so some counseling for them, for the husband to be patient, that it may not be permanent, it should come back with help. Improving the sleep quality. And a reassurance that they are not going, you know, this is not the end of the relationship. Offering some local vaginal estrogen, which is not linked to cancer. It's absolutely not linked. So even if someone's had cancer, they all still have a possibility of going and asking for it. Not all of them, but I know that a lot of breast specialists now will recommend it. So there are ways out, but it's really a multi-pronged approach because the cause is multifactorial.
So a personal question here, Dr. Charu, have you experienced perimenopause yourself and how has that affected you and your family members?
Yes, I have. And I probably still have a few symptoms. Mm-hmm. And I've had to educate my family because, you know, there is the snappiness and the irritability sometimes. Sometimes a loss of confidence even in my work where I'm scared to go to work for no reason when I know what's going to happen. I'm going to just see my patients as usual. But I almost fear the day. And this is something that has really helped me understand the experience of my patients. But I think kindness to yourself is the biggest thing I'd say I'm doing now. I listen to my body. If I'm tired, I get the rest. And I get the help I can because it's available out there.
What about you, Nisha? One day, you and I, all of us, are going to experience perimenopause. What would you do to manage that?
I think personally, I can admit that right now, I don't lead the best lifestyle. So, you know, I don't get enough sleep. I don't eat healthily. Life is so stressful as it is. But now that I know that all of these factors will contribute to my menstrual journey in the future, I will be more mindful of my health, right? I want to take better care of myself. You know, I don't want to have, you know, difficult years down the line. So I'll try my best to improve on, you know, my lifestyle changes, sleep earlier, eat healthier, you know, exercise more.
That's motivating.
And it's not all or none. This is the one thing. We all have very busy lives. So even if you can get a 20-minute stretch of exercise, a walk, you know, some fruit and vegetable into your day, it's still okay. It's not, doesn't have to be 100%. Mm.
If I take care of myself like really well for the next 5 years, is there a chance that my perimenopause symptoms will be alleviated some?
Or is it just luck?
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to be smoother.
Okay. Ooh, yeah. Okay.
It's not a guarantee, but I think there is definite evidence that you're going to be having a smoother journey. I have to say at this point, hormone replacement therapy available in Singapore is much safer than previously thought. And if women need it, that can assist their journey. For women who can't have hormone replacement, actually antidepressants in a smaller dose are used for hot flushes and sleep. So there's a lot of technology and lots of new things happening in this area. And hopefully doctors who see these patients can help them out.
Yeah, listen to your bodies, like Dr. Charu says, and you'll know when it's time to seek proper medical advice or medications, because your body will tell you, but you have to take care of it.
And don't suffer in silence. Yeah. There's help. There's help there.
Mm. I'm starting a healthy lifestyle today.
Tomorrow she'll say, I'll do it tomorrow. And then the day after, she'll say, we will monitor tomorrow. Zira.
But I will try anyway.
So Nisha, what are some ways that we can support women going through perimenopause?
Firstly, I think it's to educate yourself, right? You know, empower yourself with the knowledge that you need and understand what perimenopause is all about. So we actually had an event with Singapore Women's Festival during the International Women's Day week. We printed a brochure, which was like what we nicknamed it as like the husband guidebook, right? Oh. Yes. So this husband guidebook was to provide, you know, the loved ones of perimenopausal women on the knowledge that they need to support their perimenopausal wives or mothers or sisters. And a lot of women, they came to us, they said, my husband needs this. And they took it, they were like, I'm going to give it to him once I get home. Through our conversations with these women, we realized that, you know, perimenopausal journey, it's not one that they want to go through alone, that they want their husbands to be there for them. But their husbands, they just don't know how, right? So and also another way that, you know, they can support their perimenopausal loved one is to, you know, do activities with them, go on walks with them, go and, you know, partake in exercise activities together as a couple. You know, don't go and say, go and exercise lah. Do it together with them.
Yeah, and I think one important thing is try not to put pressure on your family members. Like, if my mom is going through like perimenopause, I'm not gonna like actively do things to make her angry, right? Sometimes if certain things can wait, then wait. If you know like now is not the right time to approach them about certain issues, then don't. And I think it's so important to ask what they need and hope that they are open with you, right? And sometimes if they're not, accept the silence. That's okay as well, you know, just give them some space. How long? 8 years to 10 years?
Not necessary. Actually, you know, this can improve as well very quickly. So given the right help.
Oh, if they have the right help, it will improve exponentially?
You will be quite amazed at seeing some women who come and seek treatment that it can be transformational within 2 months sometimes.
From 8 years to 2 months?
I would say lifestyle takes a little bit longer to work. Depending, once you've found out what the issue is and once you talk to a patient or a person and validate their feelings and how they what they're going through, simply hearing them out sometimes can help.
Like she said, don't suffer in silence, right?
One little point I wanted to mention, I've missed this before, is anyone who comes in with a new onset of depression. Yeah. You know, you see them in their 40s and they are depressed and they've never had a history of depression. You're saying, feel really, really down. Always remember it could be linked to hormones. So pay attention to it and target the hormone health as well.
Well, I feel I've learned so much from this episode.
Yeah.
Dr. Charu, Nisha, is there anything we missed out that you want to tell us, our viewers and our listeners?
Maybe I could share one story.
Okay. Yeah, of course.
So last year, you know, we had our focus group with a bunch of perimenopausal women. And one of the women's story, you know, really deeply resonated together with us. So she actually endured severe menstrual pain from endometriosis since her teens. And eventually, the complications led to a hysterectomy, which is the surgical menopause. So what happened is that they removed both her ovaries. So when this happens, you're actually, you know, launched into menopause immediately. So at the beginning, you know, her husband, he didn't really understand why is there such a huge change in my wife, you know. One day she's fine, the next she's different. You know, so he wasn't really understanding about it. But as the symptoms persisted, he became more sympathetic and more supportive. And she even shared with us something that really, you know, made us so touched. She said that her husband's yearly wish on his birthday was for her to be happy again. Aww. And we were like, oh. Right. When we heard that story, we were all like, we really hope that, you know, our husbands one day will be as equally supportive and loving as hers.
I think you brought up a very good point that, you know, in times of challenges, it's always very important to tell our loved ones that we love them no matter what they are now, because with the right help, like Dr. Charu mentioned, it will only get better.
I'm petitioning, right, for MOE to put this into their curriculum.
Correct.
So that kids can understand, because husbands, they're grown, you know, it's easier for them to understand. But as like a 10, 11 year old kid, you have no idea what's going on. You're barely learning about fertility and all that. But this is so important. Every woman goes through this. MOE, call us. Let's talk.
Very true.
I think we're realizing that, you know, it's tough on both parties, right? And especially like the family, you know, your kids have never gone through it. Your husband, they want to empathize with you, but it's very hard to empathize with something that you don't really, know what it feels like. You hear about it, but you don't actually know what it's like.
Absolutely. I think, you know, perimenopause and menopause, it's a part and parcel of every woman's life, right? It's a very natural, it's a normal phase of life. And it could also be a time for, you know, personal growth, but also growth of your relationship. Because if you can get through that, imagine how much stronger your relationship would be as well.
That's right. Yeah. So if our viewers or listeners need some help, can they reach out to both your institutions?
Yeah. Absolutely. I am seeing more and more local women coming in to talk about their menopause. And we have three clinics, one in Holland Village, Jalita, one in Katong, where I'm based, and then one in Camden.
So you can actually find us on Instagram. So our handle is beyondthepause_SG. But besides, you know, reaching out to us, there are also many informative articles by reputable doctors on healthexchange.sg under SingHealth. So there are many articles which can educate you on this topic.
Yep, a couple of good websites. One is the KK Hospital has some good information. There is a lady called Dr. Louise Newson in the UK who's a specialist GP. She's got an app called the Balance app, which is free to chart your symptoms, lots of information. She does podcasts. There's also the British Menopause Society, the Australian Menopause Society, and the North American Menopause Society. And another very good website called by Jean Hales in Australia with a lot of information for women on different phases of their...
We'll link them in the description box so that you can get to them easily as well.
Yeah. Well, I feel like I've learned so much in the past, 40 minutes through this conversation. So thank you so much, Charu and Nisha, for sharing. To our listeners and viewers as well, if you enjoyed this episode, we would appreciate if you could follow us on Instagram as well at isclarity.co.
That's right. Please understand what people are going through. My note to young boys falling in love, promising a forever, is that this is what it encompasses.
Correct. It comes in one package.
Correct. And so if you want to find out more, you can listen to us on Me Listen, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Don't forget to turn on your notifications.
That's right. We're on YouTube as well. And like we said, we're going to link all the important information in the description box on YouTube. So check it out. And thank you so much, Dr. Charu, as well as Nisha. And we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Thank you.